Okay, now it's recording. Here comes.
Yes, yes. Welcome. Interrupting your local music stream for Jacob and Andrew on the Odd Music Hour.
Hi, everyone. This is our first Odd Music radio show. You're listening
to it.
So I'm Andrew Heathwaite. That's Jacob Barton there. Our first show is the first of a weekly show that will be happening Tuesday nights at 11. You're invited here at WRFU 104.5 FM.
We're going to start off with a track by Ian Dickey from Austin, Texas.
Running garbage in the center of your fantasy.
Yes, yes. That was a live recording from, I want to say, 2008 in Houston. I was putting on a series of concerts called the 17-Tone Piano Project. It was all based around tuning these two extra pianos that they had at Rice University to 17 tones per octave, a very uncommon tuning, and then getting people to write music for that uncommon tuning. But that was Ian Dickey with this neat little way that he has of retuning a guitar. Our program tonight is an emphasis on microtonal songs. That was These Things Don't Happen Here, an original by Ian Dickey.
So, Jacob, what was his unusual way of retuning a guitar?
Well, he didn't refret anything the way we've been doing here at Odd Music. So he was using a standard fretting, but he had three of the six guitar strings tuned a quarter tone off. And so he was able to get a whole quarter tone scale just by being smart about things.
Cool.
So that actually was one of the pieces on the concert that didn't use the pianos. So now I'll play one that did. This is Ryan Stickney singing, and I think myself playing piano, 17-tone piano. This is a piece by, oh, I got to look that up. Aaron, I'm losing your last name. It's called Shine for Thyself, and it's a meditation. Yes, that's what that was. Shine for Thyself as Thine Own Light, as sung by Ryan Stickney. On the 17-tone piano project concert.
What year was that?
That was 2008. The series started in 2006 when we figured out how to retune these pianos. And the fourth concert was one where we kind of had a call specifically for songs because we're interested in singing in particular, with regards to microtones, because when you think about microtonality, if you even think about microtonality...
Maybe we could interject and say what we mean when we say that word.
Okay. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean when I say the word microtonal is a tuning system that is different from the standard tuning system that we're usually stuck with in our culture due to the limitations of instruments and of the way music theory and is taught and people are used to talking about music. So, for instance, on a guitar, we have a certain arrangement of the frets of the guitar that give us 12 equal divisions of the octave, and some alternative system might be some other number of divisions of the octave. 17 is the example that comes to mind for the 17-tone piano project that Jacob is talking about here. Or they may be unequal divisions or not an octave or some other sort of way of slicing up the pitch continuum, which is potentially infinite, into some kind of organized system.
An organized system, so like not just sliding around.
Usually, I mean, you could call just sliding around microtonal too, but that's not usually what I mean when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
anyway, my interest is more in systematic use, personally, for what I like to do and what I like to study.
I see.
So that was my interjection that maybe we should mention what the word is. But you were talking about microtonal singing.
Yes, microtonal singing. I find that singing, if you can sing it, then you can play it. And so one of the biggest objections that I've heard for trying some kind of alternative practice of hearing notes, say that I want to hear 31 notes in an octave, I can't really prove that I can hear it until I can sing it. That's kind of been my approach. And so I could now sing for you 31 tones per octave. If you could lay down a drone, Andrew.
I'll do it. Okay. Jacob's going to sing us the 31 tones per octave. Where would be a nice place for a drone, Jacob?
Maybe like... And you're welcome to sing along this first part of the lesson.
Yeah, this is interactive, by the way, so...
I'm going to count them. And if I mess up, well, you'll know.
Okay.
26. Nope, I went too fast. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for this. But you heard a lot, I hope.
I'm still stunned, actually. We've never tried to do this before.
So if you don't think that I can really sing 31 tones per octave, please call 344-2536 and chew me out or something. But in the meantime...
You can. There's another way that you could prove this if we were about proving it, and which we're not. But you have a piece here. Do you know?
Oh, yes, I do. I've written a few songs in 31, and they're called spiral canons because they very sneakily and slowly move downward. And this one is particularly sneaky and slow about it. It only moves down a single step of 31. Each time it goes through. And I'm not connected to the internet, and this is trouble. But it's kind of appropriate that it does that because the text of the piece has something to do with, well, drowning in a... Well, I don't want to give it all away. But I'm loading it up on the other computer here.
So when you say canon, you're referring to a musical form which does what?
Well, canon is like row, row, row your boat, except it doesn't repeat. That's a round. So a round goes around and around and around, and you pick up at the end where you pick up from the beginning. But you have imitation. So I go, row, row, row your boat, row, row, row,
row,
row,
row
your boat,
like that. Down there.
And so there's one person coming in with the same thing as the second person. And so a canon just goes straight through, and there's maybe... three parts that are imitating each other at a certain interval, a time interval. And so here we're going to hear one of those parts is sung and the other ones are played on instruments, but they're the same melodic lines. So this is Aurelian Spiral Canon number 2, a news poem from July 2008
by Jacob Barton.
A rainbow concrete plank gave way and
plunged her 12 feet down into a septic tank. Her mates rush and nothing long enough to fish her free. And saw no choice but jump himself into the noxious sea.
Sorry, apologies. Technical difficulties gave you that only in one channel. We think we have the solution. Well, that's just as bad. One second. It's loading. So that was Aurelian Spiral Cannon number 2 by yours truly, Jacob Barton. No comments. The instrument that you heard kind of wailing around like a walrus was the Utterbot, which is a fretless, keyless woodwind instrument that operates by a water reservoir that the player cradles in their hand and squeezes to the desired pitch level.
What are the materials an Utterbot is made from?
An Utterbot is, and we'll have a, you know, we'll have a whole episode on this in coming weeks, because you can make it in 5 minutes. but it's composed of a glass bottle, a rubber glove, a hose clamp, metal hose clamp, a rubber band, and maybe some sticky tape and water. That's pretty much it. So it's there for the taking, as always. Other instruments, you don't have to build from the ground up. You can actually modify stringed instruments, for example. Andrew will fill us in.
Well, we have a friend in town, Paul Kotheimer, who plays fretless guitar. He's pulled all the frets off of a guitar and has learned how to play a number of very particular distinct intervals within the octave on it, and he has some pieces for it. So that's one approach to playing microtonal music on a guitar. And another, of course, is re-fretting. The only thing that stops us from being microtonal on a guitar, playing microtonal, is the frets being in 12 equal. We had the example earlier of someone getting past that by tuning some of the strings to different intervals, so that the relationship between the strings would be microtonal, although the individual string would still be in 12 equal. I've done some experimenting with re-fretting, and the way I've done it has been after Dante Rosati, who is a composer who's refretted some classical guitars. He has three in particular that he's refretted, and his way of doing it is to pull the frets out, then fill in the holes that are left, the little channels where the frets were, with putty, wood putty, paint over that, and then super glue pieces of wire. Now, the way his instruments are set up is that the steps are unequal, so each string has to have its own set of frets. So the frets are small. They don't go all the way across. They're just for each string. And I've tried to do something like that, gluing frets on, and I've done this with a guitar that's in 22 equal divisions of the octave. And recently I've started working on a dulcimer, a lap dulcimer, which is in a scale that consists of overtones 12 through 24. I'll talk about what that means later on, because I want to sort of premiere the instrument on the radio and do a little lesson in singing the overtone scale, the overtone series. We'll talk about what that means later on. We have an example here in our music library of some music by John Starrett, I believe.
Yes, John Starrett plays 19-tone bass on this track with Neil Haverstick on 19-tone guitar. This is Limp Off to School, kind of a rockabilly tune.
Wearing a brace isn't bad when you're all alone, watching the TV or sitting around home. But at school I don't like being on stage for them to laugh at me. The way they treat me is my disability, as if I should be ashamed to walk at all. No gym class, no recreation, no junior prom sensation. I can't wait till next vacation. Limp off, limp off to school. Limp off, limp off to school. Most of my friends are okay when we're one-on-one, but in a group at your school they say I'm no fun.
station. I can't wait till the next vacation. Limp off, limp off the school. Limp off, limp off the school. Limp off, limp off the school. Limp off, limp off the school.
So, I don't know if that's rockabilly. If you have a definition of rockabilly, please call 344-2536 and fill me in. That was John Starrett from the Mountain Time Zone, somewhere in there. That was so. And now Andrew has a mountain dulcimer right in front of us.
It's true. I'm in the process of refretting it, and the tuning system here is one with unequal steps, which is sort of unfamiliar to our way of thinking traditionally in Western music, where we have 12 equal divisions of the octave. The song we just listened to has 19 equal divisions of the octave, and this here has 12 unequal divisions. It's taking a slice of the overtone series. So what I wanted to do was talk a little about the overtone series and invite you to sing some overtones. The overtone series refers to a harmonic sound having composite sounds within it that are at varying frequencies up into the stratosphere, basically, that are perceived not as individual pitches, but as part of the timbre of the sound. Jacob, feel free to jump in if I say anything kooky. You look like you're about to.
What are you talking about? Timbre of the sound.
So when a string, for instance, is vibrating, you have the entire length of the string vibrating, and that's producing the frequency that you're sort of identifying as, okay, that here is the pitch of that thing, and you sing it, and there's a pitch there. But the string is also vibrating in halves, and in thirds, and in fourths, all at the same time. So,
but I don't believe you. Prove it.
Well, I do have this dulcimer here in front of me. Is this audible on the radio like this, or do we have to do something funky to make it audible?
Let's try moving this microphone.
This is the microphone here. Okay, we have a third microphone. We're going to... Oops.
Nope.
It's not even...
It fell right on the floor.
This is our first show. This is great.
Don't tell anyone.
These things are allowed. Plugging this in, and then... Whoa, is this supposed to be like this?
I don't know. Does it work?
I don't know. Turn on. Okay, I'm gonna whack it a little.
Yeah, it's got.
I can hear it.
Something.
Okay.
All right, now we'll hold it.
You don't think it'll stay?
Try.
Okay, so here's a string.
Mm-hmm.
How do the meters look over there? Is that audible? Okay. There we go. Just hold it by the sound hole. What we don't have yet for it is a contact mic. But we recently learned how to make those, so... Okay, so I'm playing the string. The entire length of the string is producing that note.
You would say the pitch is something like...
Right. And...
And you're trying to tell me that there are other tiny little notes inside of that note, coloring it.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you something like that. And one way to try to prove that to yourself is to stop it from vibrating its entire length. So what I would do then is lightly touch my finger halfway on the string, which would allow the halves of the string to continue vibrating, right? Because the halves are vibrating, you know, the first half, the second half, but it wouldn't allow the whole string to be vibrating. And so here it is again, the whole string. And here's when I touch the center. Whole string. Center. So this is a common phenomenon, I think, for guitar players to actually play these strings like that, and it's called harmonics. And especially at the 12th fret, which is the octave. So... An octave is a doubling of frequency. And it's the sound of For instance, if the low note is a D, then the high note is also considered a D. It's an octave. An octave is an interval of equivalence in the way we traditionally talk about music and the way we traditionally hear music. It's men and women singing together and it's sounding like it's the same thing.
But there are no women here, Andrew.
Well, it could be you and I singing together at an octave.
So okay.
So we could do that, and you at home can do that. So if I sing do, then you could sing an octave higher, which would sound like I'm down here.
Okay. So that's one thing we can do.
So that would be the second partial of the string, or the second overtone. The first being called...
But you're skipping all those other frets that you've got there, Andrew.
Frets? Well, I haven't used any frets yet. What do you mean?
Oh. Well, okay, what else can you do without frets?
Well, I'm saying that, like, okay, so that's half of a string, which is now a doubling of frequency. If I go to a third, then I get another sound. There it is. So if our original note is ba, now when I touch a third of the string, we have ba, 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 ba. So that's 1 to 3. That's a tripling of the frequency. The doubling of the frequency got us, and the tripling got us.
So we have 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
I hope the sounds we are making are pleasing to you. In parenthesis.
Yes. So that's 3. And then 4 would be a fourth of a string, which is somewhere around... Well, another octave higher than that.
And you're getting way out of the range there.
So we're... 4 being a doubling of 2 gives us another octave up. So we have octave... Next octave, that, and then another octave.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. So, 1, 2, and 4 are all equivalent in that they're all doublings of each other, and 3 is another sound. That 3 there is what in traditional music theory is called a perfect fifth, and it's a tripling as opposed to a doubling. So there's this neat thing that happens as you go up the harmonic series, which is what this is, where when you get to prime numbers... which are numbers that are only divisible by themselves and 1. So 3 is a prime number because it's only divisible by 1 and 3. Then you have a new sort of sound that hasn't been available yet in the harmonic series.
And that's really what we're after here, right? Is new sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we weren't content with going... We want something else.
Right. And the way I've heard it described is that there is a point in music history, or at least it's been proposed, there was a point where people started hearing fifths as a kind of unity in sound, a kind of consonance, where you could have, for instance, not only people singing an octave apart and having that be cool, okay, but you could have that... have people singing a fifth apart, perfect fifth, which is the third harmonic apart. Or you could have, well, the third harmonic is the fifth plus an octave. But
so how, I mean, how back, far back in history are we talking?
Hard to say.
Like the 12th century?
I don't know a whole lot about these things. Earlier than that, I think.
But you're saying, as time went on, the numbers... There were more numbers.
Yeah, and as far as we've gotten, well, I guess it's arguable how far we got, but we at least got to 5 in the Western world. So let's go to 5 here. 5 is somewhere around there. I lost it. Oh, that's because there's a thing on the string. So I'm going to sing it within the octave.
So that's 4, 5.
Or do, mi, do, mi, do, mi, do, mi. And the other one that we had was... That's three, which was so. So if it's all within the octave, we have do, mi, so,
mi, do, mi, so, mi, do, mi, so.
Traditional major chord.
Do, mi, so.
So you can all sing that at home with us.
Do,
yes.
Mi, so, do, so, mi, do, so.
If you can be our third voice, please call 344-2536. Never mind.
So a lot of music theory has been sort of, has been, well, okay. So at some point, skipping way ahead, we settled on this tuning of 12 equal divisions of the octave, and it has this nice thing where it lets us play those major chords, or something like them, very close to them, starting on any pitch. But it's not exactly the same as what you get when you have the fifth harmonic vibrating with the fourth harmonic. It's a little different. And there are schools of thought that say, well, we really ought to be tuning according to the harmonic series, because that's more natural. And I think tuning to the harmonic series gives us a particular sound.
And those people would be very happy with the instrument that you've created.
Right. Well, yes.
Because it uses the harmonic series.
Yeah. So basically what it does, this dulcimer, is it's overtones 12 through 24. And so the overtone 12 would be a doubling, or tripling, a quadrupling of 3. 24 would be a doubling of that. So an octupling, I guess. And it basically steps up 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, then 24 is a doubling of 12, and it repeats that, 12, 13, 14, etc., at the octave. So it's actually octave repeating, which the overtone series isn't exactly. Everything has its next octave higher, but you don't have the same exact pitches octave per octave.
But you have a lot more prime numbers than you had before.
Right, because we were stopping at 5, and we could go on to other primes like 7, 11, 13. This one, 12 through 24, brings us up to the 23rd harmonic, which is a 23rd of a string, and you may have noticed that the harmonics get quieter as we go into smaller chunks of the string, higher numbers. So those are maybe less strong in sounds within the string. And more alien sounding, but they're things we can play with. I will play you the scale that you would get if you chop the string up into 12 parts. For overtones 12 through 24, it sounds like this. And then we hit the octave there. This particular slice of the overtone series, or any slice of the overtone series, has the characteristic that the steps are all different, and in fact they decrease in size as you ascend. So the largest step is there between 12 and 13, and the smallest step up on the top between 23 and 24.
Let's try singing through it once.
Sure. Should we have a drone, do you suppose?
I can do a drone.
Do you want to?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll just sing on do. Twice on each note, so.
Do, ready, sing with me. Do, 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 do.
Can descend on that.
are not making this up, people. This is nature. We did not make this up. This is not our fault. We did refret this dulcimer.
Yeah, we made up the desire to do this on an instrument. So, this is something that's a work in progress. I've only refretted part of it, and I want to sort of move some of the frets around, and I want to color code it or something like that so that it's a little lovelier, and maybe it's a little easier to find the different intervals. But it's here at the IMC, the Independent Media Center, here in Urbana, 202 South Broadway. And we have a space here, and we're calling it Odd Music. It's a library of musical instruments, of musical oddities, of scores, recordings, and it's also a community meeting place for stuff to happen.
Odd musical stuff,
yeah.
In particular, is what we're interested in. I mean, there is the fact that we're in a radio station that was built by a community. This is WRFU, low power, 104.5 FM, and it was trivially easy to get where we are now with regards to the radio station. And if you have any inclinations to having your own radio show, don't hesitate. Come on in and figure it out. There are people to show you. And we are here to show you how to sing harmonics 12 through 24 in the meantime. So, what do you want to do?
Well, I was thinking of also showing off this guitar, but first we could play some more recorded music.
Or we could do a live rendition of Is What You See What You See.
Ah. I wish I could play and sing a different part at the same time, but I can't do that yet.
You can do the jang, jang,
yeah,
jang.
Yeah, I can do the jang, jang.
Which is what it's good for.
So there are some listeners perhaps out there who already know this because they're friends of ours. This is a song that I wrote the music to, and our friend Michael Guy Ranos, a.k.a. Snow Leopard, wrote some words to. We performed it recently at a house theater with some folks, friends from the School for Designing a Society, and we also performed it here at the Odd Music Convergence, December 2009.
It's around.
Yeah,
it's admit it.
It's true. You're right, Jacob. It's around.
We're going to do two of the parts out of the four.
Yeah.
And you can do the third one, or you can do along with us, or you can listen.
So I guess we'll do it, maybe we'll start in unison.
Okay.
Does that make sense? With the instrument, too. And you can, I guess, okay, I'll just take a little tiny moment to talk about this particular mode. So there's only 7 out of these 12 possible notes that we're using. It's actually, you could call it harmonic 7 through 14. 14 being a doubling of 7.
So
right.
Te, do, re, mi.
Right, what else has lu.
Oh. So lu.
So lu te do re mi fu sol fu mi re do te lu so the lu there is a little strange. The second note from what we're used to, and that's the 13th harmonic, 13 being a prime number that's kind of high up there.
Do you really have to know it to sing it?
I maintain that it is not strange when you have it on an instrument and you are singing it and it's in your mouth. It does not have to be introduced as strange.
Yeah, you're right. There are some people who don't realize that strange is such a wonderful compliment, or don't agree with me that it is. You're right. It's not strange. It's perfectly natural and wonderful.
Well, we're talking sideways here.
Yeah.
But let's vote for playing it.
The darn thing. Sounds good. Thank you, Jacob, for pushing this along. Okay, so, is what you see what you see. Ready, and.
Is what you see what you see. When what you see is a universe lacking in mercies. Can we understand? Much understanding as such, breeze through life's paradise, or concede your dice, or you cheat, say, la vie. But I'm afraid what we see is what we get. To get is what you see, what you see. When what you see is a universe lacking in mercies, can we understand?
See,
much understanding aside, breeze through life's paradise.
A universe lacking in mercies.
Your dice,
much understanding is
or you cheat, say, I do
conceive,
but I'm afraid what we see is what we get,
loving
to get. Is what you see, what you see.
See is what we get.
When what you see is a universe lacking in mercy, can we understand?
See,
much understanding as such, breeze through life's paradise. Come see your dance.
Understanding
is all you cheat.
Come see,
but I'm afraid what we see is what we get,
loving
to get.
But I'm afraid is what we get to get.
Well, give yourself a round of applause for singing through that so well. I can really hear you from here, and it was wonderful. You're well on your way to becoming the best microtonal singer in your area. Oh, we have a call coming in.
Hey, that's wonderful. Should we simply answer it?
Hello, can I put you on the air? 1 second.
Hello, caller. Did it work? Wait, hold on.
Do we have to press one? Or?
I'm not doing it right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, hi. I was listening to your show, and I just had a couple of questions I thought I might want to ask. And one is, are you guys sick?
No, we're well. I'm very well.
Yeah, really, because, I mean, the thing I was thinking is, first I was hearing all this stuff about getting away from the classic tonal system, and I thought maybe you guys were nihilists. But then you come in with all this community radio, community center, okay, which sounds communist. Hello.
Hello.
And then the third point, where you come and continuously reinvoke this beautiful, natural versus weird, strange, like somehow, okay, if it's natural, then it's not strange. And so I'm thinking you can't be Marxist.
Now, caller, We never said we were moving away from tonality. I think you're misquoting us there. And we were never setting up a dichotomy between strange and beautiful. I don't think Andrew would condone that. I certainly wouldn't condone that. So,
you've got to choose your side. You've got to choose your side. I mean, when I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, who do you think is going to be our next president? Or maybe who do you think is going to be our salvation? Or maybe both, and it's probably yourself.
We're going to be our own salvation? Is that what you're promoting?
Is that what we're telling you?
Trench warfare might not be a thing of the past, but its repercussions are. So, what we want is the pre-selected winners.
But you are a winner. And we've already selected that.
You've self-selected. What side are you on? I want to know what side you guys are on. I'm listening to this stuff. I'm listening to all kinds of music.
We're on the side that you hear us on. What side do you hear us on?
I'm telling you. I want to know where this is all headed.
That's different from sides.
I'm singing along here, and I'm thinking to myself that there's just something missing for me, and I'm just wondering if you can fill it in. Because I'm trying to pigeonhole you guys, and is it the avoidance of holes? What?
Holes with a W? Spell your word, please.
You're coming from some funny places.
I'm trying to look up a song that will answer your question. One second.
Yeah, the song that will answer my question. A first-rate mechanic shouldn't be out of work and won't be when we figure this one out.
Is that a song? Okay, well, here's a song that, that won't figure this one out.
All right, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
This is The Family Supper.
The text is by Rayway Alley. The music is by Warren Burt.
The Family Supper, 1959. A crescent path winding high up around a valley top in Kiangsi Hills. The road's a clearing with thatched cottage, flowering vines climbing over it. A grandfather with bent old legs chopping wood, white beard falling over a bony chest, straightening himself at times, looking down the valley where the mist comes in quickly and as swiftly dissipates. A mother nursing her baby between weeding vegetables. Her three little boys, the oldest perhaps 10, playing round a hillock in black home-dyed short homespun pants of summer. And then down the hill path, a father striding home, leaning a carrying pole against the cottage, taking off his wide umbrella hat, white jacket, with hands bringing two little wooden tubs, rubbing his back with steaming towel, cleaning the sweat and dust from his long brown legs, bringing bamboo chairs and sitting with him, all busy plying food sticks over bowls of good food. Then comes the time for fun. The little boys climb over him, the grandfather holding up the baby to see. The smallest of the three stands erect on his father's knee, arms outstretched, the whole family laughing, the sound of their laughter reaching up through the pines to where one, absorbed in the scene, looking through the bushes down at them, stealing a little of their joy.
So if you listened to that one, which was The Family Supper, you would be in a different place. I find that, a more important question than many questions is the question of setting a text. We're going to play two more bits, one of them live, that are settings of texts by Herbert Bruen. The first one is the text, "What does that which I do do, and what does that I do it do?" And now that you know that that's the text, the question remains, what does the setting of that text to music do to the text, and vice versa? This is Zinharmonic Curiosities number 2 by Tommy Sherrick.
What does that which I do, that I do, which I do, do? What does that which I do, do? What does that I do, what does that I do, what does that I do, do? What does that which I do, that I do, which I do, do? What does that which I do, do? Tonality has content for me. What does that which I do, that I do, which I do, do, which does that which I do, do? What does it, what does that I do, what does that I do, do? What does that which I do, that I do, which I do, do, what does that which I do, do? Tonality has content for me.
So that's one question. Is that text, which didn't ask to be set, happened to be set, now what? And the second now what comes from Professor Heathwaite.
Hi. So this is a premiere, I guess. It's something I've been working on for an album. I've been forcing myself to write music, particularly for this guitar that I've refretted to 22 equal divisions of the octave. It's another text by Herbert Bruhn. It happens to have 22 syllables, and the text is... Wait, do I know the text without playing it? Yes, I do. Where words are said to mean what people take them to mean, there, things are what is said about them. Ka-chooka, ka-chooka, ka-choo. Where words are said to mean what people take them to mean, there things are what is said about them.
And that about wraps up, inconclusively enough, this hour of radio. To take you out, here's an old classic reinterpreted by the folks at McGill University. It's by Vincentino from the 17th century.
I'm sorry.
So you've been listening to some kind of Odd Music Radio Hour. I'm Jacob, this is Andrew. We're representatives of Odd Music, which is a group at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. Our website is oddmusicuc.wordpress.com. Check out what we're doing.
And do it, too.
And do it. And do your thing, maybe. And
throw us some emails, make some proposals about weird things to do with music. We like that. What else to say? Oh, this show will happen again in probably 2 weeks, because we're going to be in Boston working on a puppet show. If you're in Boston, then do puppet.
Come to our puppet show.
Our show, yes.
Clearly.
That's all the information you need for that, really. So, we'll see you the next time.
Next time. WRFU LP Urbana.